Well, hello again. It's good to be with you again this week as we press into this greatest revival that's ever been seen on planet Earth. You're a soldier in God's army. You're part of the army prophesied by the prophet Joel. And I assure you that when we're on the front lines, just like every soldier has to have a weapon that's got ammunition in it, your hands, your fingers that you lay on the sick, those are the weapons, and the ammunition is the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the life of Christ in you. Woo. Man, I'm excited about all of this. Well, as you know, the Lord's given me an assignment here recently of going back to an old document. It's something that he said to me many, many years ago, like 38 years ago. But he's having me bring that out. You know, Jesus talked about every real scribe brings out things old and new. And it seems like that's what he's doing. But he's bringing out some of these truths that I've known for a long time. And he's implementing them. Well, first off, he wants you to know them. But he's re-implementing them also in my life just to make, it's like a refresher, you know. Sometimes you need a refresher. And to be honest with you, I'm really eager to get into the recoding the brain teachings that he's been giving me. And I thought that's what we would do this week. But in my prayer time, the Holy Spirit didn't exactly say that this way, but he said, after you introducing the connection between words and angels last week, if you don't give them a little more on that, they shall stone thee. I don't want to be stoneth. I don't want to be stoned. So, I'm eager to get into the recoding of the brain, and there's a lot, and it's going to go on for a while. But before we go, since he had me bring out these teachings from what I call the words document, he knows what I named it. I'm going to read that just in case you didn't hear last week, or even if you did, as a refresher. Excuse me. I'm going to read again that portion from the words document. It won't take very long, from last week. Then I'm going to share some things that he's shown me over the years about the connection between angels and our words. Most people, I can't speak for most people around the world, but I can talk about Americans. Americans just say whatever's on their mind, you know. Jesus did not do that. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, he said, I'm not even the one originating the words. What I hear the Father say, that's what I say. Well, boy, most Americans are not like that. We think it, we say it, and we're very flippant, and I think that's why our words really don't have a whole lot of power. And in some ways, that's a good thing, because if every word that we said came to pass, like, you know, God said that about the prophet Samuel, said none of his words, God didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. I'm telling you right now, that's where he's taking us. James said, if you don't learn to bridle your tongue with the word of God, if you don't learn how to do that, your religion really is pretty useless. That's quite a statement. Anyway, that's not today's lesson. Today we're going to talk about angels and words. And let me read. This is the passage that I read right at the end of last week's message. So let's start with it again. It's only three paragraphs or four. It won't take very long. Now, this is from A Tongue and Interpretation that I was by myself. I had learned this from the books and videos from Oral Roberts many years ago. He was the first one he would say in there, he says, well, how do you think I knew how to build Oral Roberts University? I didn't know anything. I just knew what the Lord said to build it. I didn't know how to build it. How do you do that? So he says, I learned to pray and then pray for the understanding, or you could say pray to interpret the mystery that I was praying. And I learned, sure enough, the Holy Spirit would begin giving me the interpretation of the mystery. Well, I read those books and I started putting it in practice way back in the 80s. And this was in 1987 when the Lord said this to me. It's A Tongue and Interpretation. Here's what I heard. How does the Lord turn up the power in our words? He has sent an angel to you. You have many angels assigned to you. But I am assigning a specific angel who is a chief, a commander of sorts. His specific assignment is to hear your words. as he hears your words, he issues commands to the angels that are under his command. There are ranks of angels, and different angels have different assignments. This angel will not forgive your words. Angels do not operate in mercy and forgiveness. They operate in obedience. Therefore, I charge thee. Back in those days, he had to speak to me in King James or it wasn't God, you know. Dave talks about that too. He doesn't have to talk to me that way now. Therefore, I charge thee. Speak my word and speak in line with my word. This angel will not forgive nor bypass your words. Well, you're going to see that in the lesson today. He continued, concerning angels, look unto Jesus. He said he could ask the Father for angels, and the Father would have given them. He is your example. When you sense the need for additional angels, request them. The Father assigns them and then equips them and instructs them through the Holy Spirit. You can request more angels for a specific purpose. And then pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will instruct the angels who will instruct the lower angels to accomplish my will in the earth, says the Lord. Last paragraph. And there are those times when I just choose to send angels to minister unto you. They are my servants. I send them forth to serve you. It is possible, and it is your privilege, to request angels. Okay, well, that's what I read last week. And like I say, I've had that information in me for so long, it's like, you know, a foundation block. But it's good to be put in remembrance. But I was going to go on and start teaching on something else this week. And again, the Holy Spirit says, this is old to you. It's new to them. You better give them a little more on angels. And I felt like he didn't say it, but I felt like if you don't, they're going to stoneth thee, you know. So let's look at some scripture to validate. And I've already done this for myself. Every word that the Lord has given me, I always go to scripture and make sure that I can find verses to corroborate it. And I always want some from the new and some from the old, because everything real casts a shadow, you know. So if you find a shadow in the old, if you believe something's real in the New Testament, you better find that shadow in the old. And he always does it for me. Well, anyhow, let's look at angels. The title of today's lessons is Angels and Words, and really a little bit more than that. But let's start with Daniel. Everyone's very familiar with Daniel, and he's the one that he figured out through the words of the prophet Jeremiah that the 70 years had been accomplished, and it was time for Israel to return to the land. But he was also asking God about mysteries and the future. And so, as you know, he started on a 21-day fast, and he prayed right at the beginning of it. And look at Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. This angel appeared to Daniel and said to him, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before my God, before thy God. Now that chasten yourself means fasting. Thy words were heard. Now notice, and I am come for thy words. Angels are connected with your words. Angels are involved with answered prayer. Your words, when you pray and fast, yes, God the Father hears your words, but these angels are in the presence also of God the Father. They hear your words, and they receive assignments from the Lord. He says, I am come for thy words. Whew. Just let that sink in for a minute. What if an angel came to enforce all your words? Oh, my back is killing me. Pretty glad those words fell to the ground, you know. Yeah, somebody cuts you off in traffic. Let's not even mention the words that might be spoken. But it's a good thing they didn't fall over dead while they're driving their vehicle, you know. We just come through a pretty volatile election in the sense of people were really serious on both sides, you know. Some people say, well, if that guy gets elected, I'm leaving the country. And the other side goes, good, leave quickly. I'm just saying there was a lot of words spoken that it's obvious angels are not. I think they ignore the vast majority of our words. You know, they can't really forgive them. He said they can't really bypass them. But I think they can't ignore them. And I think that's what's going on. But that, my brothers and sisters, is going to change as we come into this revival. You and angels are going to be working together a lot more than we have in the past. Part of that is just simply because we're going to straighten up on how we speak. We're not going to be those people that just, you know, in Proverbs over and over again, it says a fool is known by the multitude of his words. You know, you just talk too much. Okay. Here's another one. We're talking about angels and their connection, involvement with our words, the words that we speak. Look over at Luke chapter 1. That was Old Testament. Let's look at New Testament. Luke chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. Now, this passage right here talks about how important your words are. I'm telling you, words of doubt and unbelief can hold back the plan of God. In World War II, they said loose lips sink ships. Well, that was true in World War II. I'm seeing more and more it's true in the kingdom of God. Things that you can say can absolutely disrupt the plan of God. Let me show you this. Luke chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. An angel appeared unto the priest. This is the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, I think is how you pronounce his name. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. Now this time we know who the angel is. This is Gabriel. That stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. So, hey, sometimes the Holy Spirit reveals things to you. Sometimes an angel reveals things to you. And behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now that word doesn't mean stupid. It means not able to speak. And thou shalt, well, in this case, he was stupid. He had doubt concerning what Gabriel said to him. Thou shalt be unable to speak. Well, it tells you there. Thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Now, he just got through telling him that his wife was pregnant. She was pregnant with John the Baptist. He told him what to name the baby. And Zacharias didn't do like Mary did, like, be it unto me according to thy word. He's going, I don't see how that could happen. We're old and unable, you know. In other words, he was going to be speaking against the plan of God. And would it have made a difference? Well, why shut him up if it wouldn't? It would make a difference too. Your words are important. And angels are involved with your words. Sure involved with this one. You're going to talk against the plan of God, are you? Now, this time it was so important that John the Baptist be born. It was prophesied by the prophet Malachi and others that this messenger, this prophet would come and prepare the way of the Lord. And you know the message of John is repent. Okay? Repentance is necessary for the way of the Lord. So, behold, thou shalt be dumb, not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. These words have to come to pass. This is part of the plan of God. And Zacharias, you and your mouth is not going to interfere with it. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Verse 22, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Well, he saw an angel, a specific angel, Gabriel. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Now, I didn't do the rest of the story, but once the baby was born, and the plan, that's John, you know, John the Baptist, once that baby was born, and the plan of God, that part of it was finished, then his Zacharias' tongue was loosed, and he was able to speak, and he's telling them, okay, you could, his name is John, you know, John, he may have written it first, I'm not sure, John, but anyway, his tongue was loosed later. Now, what do we learn from that? Would you say an angel is involved with your words? Absolutely. Does it matter whether you speak in line with God's word? Absolutely. Now, normally, in most cases, God does not override your free will. He does not. But in this case, it's obvious that Zacharias was going to speak doubt and unbelief, and it was going to interfere with the plan of God. This one is just too important. It's a priest by him. You know, his whole job is to serve God. He doesn't have a secular job. I mean, everything about him is serving God. And so God has a right. This man is a full-time employee, if you will. And so, okay, you're not going to stop this. And apparently, now see, that's so important you get this. Apparently, him speaking doubt would have had some effect. Otherwise, why shut him up? I don't totally understand all that. Neither do you. Don't send me no letters. Let's just all keep praying. Okay. But I can sure tell that it was important and that an angel was involved with his words. And in this case, it was so vitally important. That baby had to be born at this time. You're not going to speak against this, Zacharias. Once it's over, you can speak again, but you're not going to speak against this. Whoa. Now you talk about an angel being involved with your words. I don't know if it gets more obvious than that. Now let's talk about angels of another kind. See, demons are fallen angels, and they've been stripped of a lot of their power. They really have. When Pastor Dave Roberson would teach on this, he says, you know, the devil is a murderer. Jesus said he is a murderer. And when he talked to the Pharisees, he said, you're of the father, the devil, and you do his bidding, you know, and he was a murderer and a liar. But Dave would say, you know, but the devil, he can't just walk up and kill you. Otherwise he would. He would just rid the planet of people because you're made in the image of God and he hates you. So normally the devil, he can't just walk up. He just doesn't have that power to kill you. Now, angels, not fallen, do, by the way. That's a whole other thing. You can look at victories that were won in the Old Testament where one angel slew 100,000 men in a single night. And we're not even given that angel's name, if I remember right. You know, it's like Joe Angel. I mean, you know, just how powerful are angels? But demons are fallen angels. And they have been stripped of a lot of their power. They cannot just walk up and kill you. But notice this. The same way that Gabriel could make Zacharias unable to speak. Look at this. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. These fallen angels, demons, they still retain some power. And I mean physically, to affect humans physically. Look at this. Mark 9, 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Dumb spirit. He's not able to speak. Doesn't mean stupid. It means not able to speak. In Matthew 9, verses 32 through 33, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, notice, possessed of a devil. Now this guy, he's possessed of a devil, and he's dumb, meaning this, he can't speak. Verse 33, and when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Now, the point that I'm making here, we're still talking about angels and words. But here's demons and words. Gabriel was able to make Zacharias dumb for a season. And apparently these fallen angels, demons, they have some power. They were able to make this one unable to speak. But see, you have authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, I have given you power, that word is authority, over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And that's right after the disciples had come back and said, look, they were astonished. Even the devils, Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us in thy name. Well, you have that authority too. Believers, the very first thing, in my name, they shall cast out devils. That's you. You want to cast them out. All right, let's look at a little more. They can also, now these demons, they can't just walk up and kill you, but they can affect your eyesight, and they can affect your ability to speak if they get a place in your life. Now look, Matthew 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto him one that was possessed with a devil. Here we go again. Blind and dumb. This one, he's blind. This a demon can make a person blind and couldn't speak. But notice Jesus. And I love these four words. And he healed him. That's Jesus. And he healed him. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Now notice they brought him to Jesus. I'm going to tell you again, you can search it out for yourself. I've already done it for you, but it'd be good for you to see it in your own Bible. You go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John yourself. And here's what you're going to find. Every person that ever came to Jesus or was brought to Jesus or came to one of his meetings got what they came for. All of them. Every time, no exceptions, all of them. Now, as he would pass through a village, not everybody in the village, if they just stayed home or, you know, didn't come out to be, you know, he didn't, just passing through the village, he didn't heal everybody in the, you know, everybody didn't get healed just because he walked through it. But if they came to him, however they came to him, even the woman with the issue of blood who came up behind and secretly just, you know, she had faith that if I just touch the hem of his garment, you know, I'll be healed. She came to him, didn't she? Now, it was secretly and behind him and almost like I don't want him to know I'm here. But she came to him, and even she got what she came for. Jesus felt that power go out of him. Who touched me? Who touched me? And in his humanity, he didn't know. Now, yes, I know he's God. He's always God. But he set aside his privileges as God. Who touched me? And finally, she confessed. But I just want you to see that everybody, even if they snuck up behind him, touched the hem of his garment secretly, still got what they came for. Glory to God. We're going to have Jesus meetings again in this revival. You're going to be a part of it. And I'm telling you, they're going to be healed first time, every time, no exceptions. Oh, I can't hardly wait. Feet, stay here. We got to finish this lesson. Okay, have some coffee, Gary. Settle down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I tell you, you get to feeling like a teenager again. You get to meditating in the Word of God. Now, by the way, so we've seen that fallen angels, well, if fallen angels can do this stuff, listen, angels have a lot of power. And what about these unfallen ones? Do you think they can be involved with your sight and your speaking? And what about your hearing? Let's talk. See, because one other thing you're going to find is fallen angels, demons, they still have power to affect hearing. Watch this. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. There was a young man brought to him by his father, demon-possessed. But he rebuked the foul spirit that was in that young man, saying unto him, now notice, thou dumb and deaf spirit, this spirit was able to affect the hearing and the speaking. I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. So angels or fallen angels, either one, demons, They can affect your speech. And they can affect your hearing. So if fallen angels can physically affect hearing, eyesight, and speaking, well, so can the angels of God. Now, there's more. Let's look at this. Did you know angels can strengthen you? They can strengthen you, I started to say emotionally, but really it's really more than that. You know, when you're, okay, let's just talk, let's just stay with the scripture so you can see what I'm talking about here. When Jesus was agonizing in the garden about his will and the Father's will, and you can read that in several of the Gospels, but Jesus had a human will, and his human will did not want to go through what he was facing. He's at this point, when he's praying in the garden there, he's just hours away from the cross, hours away from the scourging, hours away from the crown of thorns, all of the beatings and all that they were, and death, all that they were going to do to him. And he plainly says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. In other words, if there's any other way, please. His will was not to go through it. And you can tell that because of what he says here in Luke 22, verses 42 and 43. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. You can tell. Nevertheless, not my will. In other words, if I have my will, I won't have to do this. See, there's something that helps me with that, that Jesus, even when, have you ever had a hard time obeying God? You know, a lot of times we have the excuse, well, I don't know what he wants, but there's times when you know what he wants and you're going, I'm not sure about that. Well, the first time he ever called me when I was still had a job, I was long haul trucking and it paid okay. The first time that he ever told me that he wanted me to go full time, he told me, this is your last run. When you get back in off of this, tell your dispatcher, give him 2 weeks notice. He won't require it of you and you'll be free to serve me full time. Gary, did you obey that? No, I didn't obey that. My mind was so full of doubts. I didn't know him very well. I had trained myself through the teaching of Pastor Dave Roberson to discern his voice, and I heard it. To me, that one was like audible. I don't know if you'd have been in the cab of that truck, if you would have heard it or not, but to me, it wasn't inside. That was from outside. I heard it just so clear. But my mind was full of doubts. I mean, I didn't say all of this, but immediately all these thoughts start running like machine gun bullets, you know. Well, how am I going to make my car payment? How are we going to eat? I got a wife. She likes to eat. She likes to eat more, every day and sometimes more than once. I mean, I'm making fun a little. But it's doubt, just all these doubts. And I didn't obey him. My will overrode God's will at that point. Did he forsake you and kick you into hell? No. No, he loved me and continued to minister to me for about another, how many months? I think it was about another 6 months, but I had, that was a long time ago. Bear with me a little. But anyway, I didn't obey it. And anyway, circumstances changed until I finally did. I would have been better off to obey him the first time, just to be honest with you. And I still had a lot of the doubts, but circumstances became such that I obeyed him, and I thank God that I did. I'm just saying all that to know there's times when you know for sure what his will is, there's still times when you struggle between your human will and the will of God. But it helps me to know Jesus also faced that same thing. Jesus faced it also. And he agonized. Prayer in the garden. Here, let's look at it again. He says, Luke 22, 42 and 43, saying, now he's speaking. This isn't silent prayer. Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now notice verse 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Now, in this case, it doesn't say anything about food, but it strengthened him. Strengthened him. Resolve. You ever feel weak? It's obvious he was agonizing to the point. The stress was causing his body to react. One of the Gospels says that he sweat great drops of blood, and there's a scientific name for that condition where stress puts such pressure on the little tiny capillaries that they break, and the blood gets into the sweat glands, and you literally sweat blood. And you talk about agony. This war is going on in the Son of God, his human will versus the will of God. And but he's also praying. Now, his words are important. What's the last thing he said there? Not my will. He said it. Not my will, but thine be done. I'm trying, Father. I'm agonizing, Father. I'm in a war between my will and your will, but I want your will above mine. And at that moment, an angel comes and somehow strengthens him. Boy, we got a lot to learn in that area. There's a lot to learn. If it was needful for an angel to come and strengthen Jesus and his humanity, how often do we need an angel to come and minister to us and strengthen us in our humanity? Glory to God. We're going to learn a lot more about angels. I just want you to see the connection between the words he said, not my will, but thine be done. And an angel came right after he said it and strengthened him. There is a connection between words and angels. Glory to God. Let's look at another one. Matthew 4:10-11. Now, this is during the time of Jesus when he was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And, you know, we're only given the three temptations in the four Gospels. But Pastor Dave would say, listen, if you think there were only three temptations, he said, hell was throwing everything it had. This is not a demon attacking Jesus. This is Lucifer himself, or Satan himself, not Lucifer. But Satan, well, Lucifer was his first name. Now he's Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And it's Satan himself. And he says, I'm telling you everything emotionally, psychologically, every temptation that you can imagine, they're summarized in those few there, those three. But Jesus, all hell, everything hell has, the whole arsenal is being thrown at him. So we pick it up in the warfare here, Matthew 4:10-11. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. The reason I'm hesitating, the Lord says, emphasize, saith. Then saith, not thinketh. We lose so many wars by not speaking the word of God. Jesus didn't overcome the devil by thinking the word of God. He overcame the devil by saying the word of God. Glory. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. So for now, he gave a command, and then he gives the word. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now that was it. This was the end of the temptations. And so the devil leaveth him, and behold, now notice, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, exactly how those angels ministered to him, we're not told. Again, it may have been, he's been fasting for 40 days and nights, and now he's been through this warfare with every temptation, tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And, you know, he's probably physically exhausted, and he's not spiritually, but emotionally and psychologically maybe, I don't know. All I do know is it says angels came and ministered unto him. Earlier it says strengthening him in that other passage that we looked at. All I know is he needed help and angels came and helped. Now if it's needful for angels to come and minister unto the humanity of Jesus, don't you know there's times when we need angels to come and minister to us? But I want you to notice again, there's a connection. Notice the second word in verse 10, then saith. not thinketh, not wisheth, not hopeth, saith. Jesus was speaking. He gave commands and he spoke the word of God. He is speaking word. There's words involved and angels come to help. Glory. God, here I go again. I'm about to have a running fit. My feet are going out the door. You just can't see them. Man, this is good stuff. Angels are involved with us way more than we know. And there is a connection between your words and angels. Glory. How about the Old Testament? Let's go look at a famous one from the Old Testament. Now, this is 1 Kings 19, verses 4 through 8. And really, I'm just barely capturing the part of the story that has to do with these angels. But it's a long story, and it's great, and it's scary at the same time. You know, Elijah had a great showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, and, you know, and he's challenging the people. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? You know, if God be God, worship him. If Baal be God, worship him. Let us, you know, they prepared this sacrifice, and let the God who answers by fire, he is God. And you know the story. The false priests did everything they could. No fire ever fell. Elijah, he said, now douse everything with water. Douse it again. Build a trench. Fill that with water. Douse it again. When he prayed, the fire fell, consumed the animal, the offering. It's consumed the stones, licked up all the water. And the people went, suddenly, Jehovah, he is God. Great victory right after. And then they slew the 450 prophets of Baal. When Jezebel found out, she's going, oh, he killed my prophets? Well, tell him I'm going to kill him. And somehow it really affected Elijah. And this, I'm going to pick up the story because Elijah went on the run, to be honest with you. He's in hiding. So 1 Kings chapter 19, let's look at verses 4 through 8. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Now, you talk of, it's so interesting. You have this great victory on the Mount Carmel. And God, he is God. You turn the hearts of the people back to the true and living God. But then this evil queen, government, can I just say government? Okay, not going to get it. Government says, that's it, we're taking you out. I'm going to kill you now. Okay, so government starts a lawfare against him. Okay, sorry. Back to this. He said, it really affected Elijah to the point of, all right, that's it, I want to die. Okay, I'm just reading what it says. He says, He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. It's pretty bad. Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold then, an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Now, he went a day's journey into the wilderness, and I don't think he's publicly saying, Lord, take away my life. He's alone. And it seems pretty obvious when he laid down to go to sleep there wasn't any bread baking and there wasn't any water there, but all of a sudden an angel comes and there is. Now, this is physical bread, physical water. Doesn't exactly say precisely that the angel did it, but I think the inference is pretty strong. Look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again, second times, the same angel, and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat. Now that means food. Meat, King James, just means food. He went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mountain of God. this little detail is left out, but it's so important to me. If you calculate it out, it was about a 19 or 20 day journey to Mount Horeb. It's about 200 miles. Been a while since I studied that out. But notice it took him 40 days. This was a time of self-seeking and searching. Okay, I'm really giving too much information, but the important part is this. He arose, whatever that food was, whatever that water was, whatever was in there that the angel prepared, he went in the strength of it 40 days and 40 nights, because the Lord had him wandering around a while. He didn't just go in a straight line. This was a seeking, but whatever was in that, this is a physical strengthening. We saw earlier that the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Didn't necessarily say they fed him anything. But he was strengthened in the garden. Jesus was. He was strengthened after his fast and warfare with the devil in the wilderness. And they strengthened him and ministered to him. But here we see this angel, it some kind of literal food and water. It may have been supercharged water. I don't know. May have had stuff in it. Bolt, jolt, whatever they call that. I don't mess with them. But anyhow, when he ate it, when he ate the physical food and drank that water, he's able to go 40 days. Woo! Angels. But again, there's a connection between his words and these angels being involved. Okay, Matthew, let's look at another one. Matthew 18:10. He mentioned in that document that I read to you that we have angels assigned to us. And I remember thinking, is that scriptural? Is that real? Well, look at Matthew 18:10. It says, take heed, this is Jesus speaking, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Now, if you look at it in context, he's talking about believers, because he's talking about sheep. And he talks about if you lose one of the sheep, don't you leave the 99, go after the one. So he's talking about believers here. He's not talking necessarily just about children. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Listen, little believer, you got angels assigned to you. Somehow in that dimension, they're assigned to you, and at the same time, they're always standing they're beholding the face of the Father, which is in heaven. You have angels. They're angels, T-H-E-I-R. They're angels. Whose angels? These little ones that believe in me. My sheep. You got angels. more than one. Angels, I'm not doing an exhaustive study, of course, on angels today, but you'll find out there's ranks of angels. There's archangels, and then there's lower angels below those. Very much government type angels. Michael and Gabriel are of the highest class, I think. There's seraphim. There's, other classes of angels. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Father, Commander, I just want you to see that he said angels, not just angel. Now, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. You can remember that from Hebrews chapter 12. And if he could ask the Father for angels, so can we. Look at Matthew 26, verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? That's a lot of angels. If one angel could destroy an army of 180,000, if I remember right, men, one angel, Joe Angel, didn't even tell us his name. Just an angel. If he has the power to, destroy, kill 180,000 trained warriors in a single night. How about a legion? I think, if I remember right, a legion was 6,000, maybe. Don't hold me to that, but it's a lot. And 12 legions? When Dave mentioned that one time, he said, I think that's enough. If you had 12 legions of angels, I believe that's enough to destroy the whole world. You know, angels are heavily involved in the book of Revelation. When it comes time for judgment, Jesus talks about how the angels are involved, and even in the kingdom of God, they're going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the good from the bad. You know, there's a lot of tares in the kingdom. Sorry, that's what the Bible says. There's going to be a great separation, and the good are going to be gathered into the nets, and the tares are going to be separated and cast into the fire. That's anyway. But he said the angels will be involved in that process. Wow, there's so much we have, the church and me too, woefully ignorant regarding angels. All I know is what he told me when it comes to our words, that angels are involved. And then one last one, just you know, a sprinkling of things that we know about angels. Look at Hebrews 13:2. It's obvious that angels can take on human form. Here he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, unawares means it's certainly not like an angel that appeared in sometimes, you know, like when it appeared to Daniel. Daniel fell on his face and he's afraid, and in the book of Revelation, John, you know, he saw Jesus, but he also saw angels. And one time he fell down to worship that angel because it was so glorious. And the angel said, no, 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 get up. I am your fellow servant. You just worship God. You don't worship me. And we don't worship angels for sure. But and Sodom and Gomorrah, remember those two of those angels appeared as human. They thought that the people thought they were human. So got to be careful how you treat people. You might just be treating an angel right there. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. To entertain doesn't mean dance for them. It means take care of them. You know, if they're hungry, feed them and give them some water, whatever they need. You know, give them an extra shirt if they need a shirt. Sue is great at that, by the way. She's the entertain angels, strangers person. I mean, you know, we can't even have any kind of repairmen come. They leave with sacks of candy and clothes sometimes. Apples, bananas. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Well, they sure didn't appear glorious. They appeared as a human. And you were interacting with an angel and didn't even know it. Well, now, all of that is just to verify some of what he said here, which I'm not going to read that again, but I am going to go back to a little earlier statement that he said about these words. I'm just going to summarize it again. We've got about 10 minutes, and I'm looking forward to getting into recoding of the physical brain, which is now I understand it. He's given me some things to research, and I've been doing we're going to have some good lessons on that. And it's going to change us too. Anyway, right there, I just want to get into it so bad. No way. Okay. We'll get into it soon. Now, way back in the beginning, he said, speak words, talking to me personally, but I believe he's talking with all of us. He says, speak words of confession. Do you still do that? I think at the end of this one, or out to the side today, we might put a few of the PDFs that he's given me over the years. We have one on, at least these two, the one on healing and the one on your finances. All it is taking scripture and just making it into a present tense now confession. Speak words of confession. In other words, say what God says. Speak words of intercession. speak words of praise. Years and years ago, Sue and I, well, it was really my idea because I thought I was just so superior, you know, in the early days. And I'm going to, I heard Kenneth Copeland do this and I thought, okay, I'm going to do this with my wife. And so I said, let's make this little challenge. You know, if you ever hear me speaking anything that's not in line with the Word of God, just say this, say, all right, that's your confession and I agree with every word of it. And I thought at the time now, I'm sure being the man of God and the head of the house that I am, that I'm going to get my wife to straighten up. You know, that was the worst deal I ever made in my life. Because here I thought that I was speaking in line with God's word. If you'd asked me, I would have truthfully honestly said, because I thought it was true. Well, yeah, I don't speak doubt and unbelief, and I don't speak negative contrary to the word of God. Well, I'm greatly simplifying, but I made this deal with, okay, now every time if you say something that's contrary to the word, I want to say, aha, that's your confession, and I agree with every word of it. And you're supposed to say, no, I cast those words to the ground, you know. They'll not bear harvest. Okay, so I thought I was making this great deal. Oh, my Lord. Sue delighted in that because I didn't even realize I was doing it, but I would just say things like, well, like my back is killing me, we never have enough money to pay our bills. This was in the early days when money was staying away in great abundance, you know. Oh, we never have enough to pay our bills, and I'll be the first one to lose my job, and this, and I mean, you know, I could just still see that little sparkle in her eyes. I agree with you, and every word you spoke shall come to pass. Oh, no. Well, we only did that about a week, and I begged that we stop that. Man, I had a lot to do. I had no idea that I was so much speaking out of line with God's word, and I still have to catch myself today. And again, I'm not teaching out of the book of James, but you know what's in there. If you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is vain. That word vain simply means useless. It's non-productive. If you don't ever learn to bridle your tongue with the word of God. Now, no man can bridle the tongue by self-effort. You're going to have the help of the Holy Ghost and Christ in you and to help you with this. But you can bridle your tongue with the word of God. Now, sometimes that's part of why recoding the brain. Listen. Well, you can really simplify this. You know you did not learn your ABCs by singing that jingle one time. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You, over and over and over again and again for weeks and months and maybe years until there's a pathway, a neural pathway in your brain that's got that. Literally, it became part of you. You could biologically, if we were good enough, biologically they could find that strand of neural pathway in your physical brain. It's there because you got it. You remembered it. It's become part of you. But it came by repetition, not by hearing it one time. Same with multiplication. Dear Lord, how many times did you go through your addition, subtraction, multiplication? Now, see, I'm from the old days where we didn't have calculators in our classroom. We had to learn division, long division. Remember that little thing where some of you never even seen it, don't even know what I'm talking about. Where you put the one number in there and you put the number you're going to divide it by out there and you got to go through long division. People go, what is that? I just use my little calculator. Yeah, by Desert Island, you might have a little trouble. Anyway, okay, we're about to run out of time. Let's go on a little more. I'm telling you, though, I'm just telling you, it's important that we change what we say to where if we're going to be really used by God, if there is a connection between our words and the power of these angels that Jesus plainly says we have, I don't want my angel having to turn his back and play pinochle or canasta with other angels because he has nothing to do because he never hears. If we went to the end of Psalms 103, it says the angels hearken, they hearken to the voice of God's word. For years I missed it because I thought it said they hearken to God's word. Well, they do, But that's not what it says. It says they hearkened to the voice of God's word. When the Holy Ghost was teaching me that, he actually had to say, get a hold of your Bible. Is that the word of God? And I went, yeah, that's the word of God right there. He said, hold it up to your ear. He said, do you hear any voice? No. No voice. He said, now they hearken to the voice of the Father speaking in heaven. They hearken to the voice of the Son, voice of the Holy Spirit. That's part of that truth. But on earth, they hearken to the voice of God's word coming out of your mouth. What are they hearing? Are they hearing doubt? None. Are you a Zechariah? Are you a Christ person? Are you going to speak? You know, hopefully they don't have to, make you stop, stop your ability to speak. But I think most of the time they're playing canaster or pinochle. I'm showing my age. I don't even know what the games are today. But they're doing, what I'm saying is they're having to just ignore it because they can't really act on your words. Dear Lord, I'm glad they don't always act on my words. Some of the things I've said to that guy that cut me off in traffic. Oh, a long time ago, for sure. Okay, Iroh. Words of confession, words of intercession, words of praise, words of worship, words of truth, words of spirit, and words of life. See, Jesus, he said, my words are spirit. My words are life. Do you want to know why? For a love offering? No. I don't say anything except I hear the Father's say it. How does God create everything? And God said, light be. In the King James, let there be light. But in the original, it says, light be. And light was. When you say what God says, there is life in it. There is spirit in it. And the angels hearken to the voice of God's word coming out of your mouth. Glory to God. I'm going to have to take off. Oh, that's enough for this week. I can't take it. Maybe next week he'll let us get into the neural pathways. I'm hoping so. Love you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.